So we're in a series called What It Means to Believe with the Heart, and I don't have time to go over all those scriptures, but we've covered, so we're going to pick up where we left off. You can just write these down. We're not going to take time to turn there. Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Mark 11, 23, you know, we go to those a lot when we're talking on these Wednesdays, but we were just, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says it's with the heart that man believes. It's with the heart man believes. You don't believe. There we got it. We'll just look at it real quick. It says on the screen there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's with the heart one believes, and we're talking about what does that mean. Mark 11, 23 says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. So it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So what does that mean? What does that mean to believe with your heart, not to doubt in your heart? That's what we're talking about. And so we've gone over some of those, some things so far. So I'm not going to recap all that. You can go and listen to those messages on the website. But we've been talking about that your heart is your spirit. And we have paralleled a little bit with certain things we were talking a few weeks ago on Sundays as well, kind of dovetail. But your heart is your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, you don't have to turn there, says, may you be sanctified, may your whole person be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and we live in a body, and we'll see that more as we go on. But we're talking about, when we talk about your heart, we're not talking about your blood pump. There's a scripture you can see on the screen. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. We know what the body is. Your spirit's the real you. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says God made man in his own image. Well, the Bible says in Numbers that God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a physical being. God is not a man like we are. So when we are created in his image, he's not necessarily talking about you, the physical part. He's talking about the real you, the spirit being. And so that part of you is the part of you that you believe God with. And so we're going to get into that more, but we're still talking about the difference between the spirit, soul, and body. So why don't you go ahead and turn over to Luke 16. Luke 16, 19. We were here last week. We'll pick up there and we'll go into a number of scriptures, I think, tonight. Luke 16, 19. I'm going to put it up on the screen, too. Luke 16, 19. Everybody there? It's on the screen. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I'm going to read that. Sorry, I got the. I'll read it over here in this. He fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So we'll read a couple more verses. But Abraham said, son, remember, verse 24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. So notice, first of all, we went over a little bit this last time, but I'm going to recap a little bit. Notice verse 22 says, now the beggar died and the angels angels are ministering spirits, carried him. They carried him into Abraham's bosom. So his spirit, because obviously his body is dead. They didn't carry his body. They buried his body. The people were going to bury his body. His spirit was the real person. But here it says he was carried, verse 22, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So it says the beggar died. And he, or it, the be, it was so as that the beggar died and was carried. So who was carried? The beggar. Was it his body? No, it was the real him. So notice then it says the rich man also died and was buried. Now the rich man's body was put in the grave, but the Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes. You see that? Go to verse 23. Look at that. It says in hell he, the rich man, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. These people are all dead, right? But it says that the rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus. He saw Abraham, but he's dead. So at the time, Abraham's body had been in the grave for years, right? And yet the Bible says the rich man saw Abraham. Also, the rich man recognized the beggar, Lazarus. So he recognized him. He had seen him, and now they're dead. Yet he can see him. So that we can conclude that in the spirit realm, we look very similar to what we look like in the natural realm, in this life. If you can, people can be recognized in heaven, and you can know who they are. You can see that here. Now we go over verse 24 again. It says, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. So your soul is still intact. You're a spirit. You have a soul. You live on earth in a body. In heaven, man's soul is intact. He can still remember things, and he still has emotions. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So you can see that we can look at Luke 27 and 20, or the verses 27 and 28 here. But let's go ahead and read those, 27 and 28. Verse 27 says, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. So you can see the man was concerned about his five brothers. So he remembers them. He has emotions about them. He's concerned about them, right? So your soul is still intact. Your body's dead. You are a spirit. But you have your mind, will, and emotions still. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Everybody there? It says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See, if we have a house, it says here that the body of man was made with hands, but the inward man, the spirit of man, was not. Therefore, when our body is put in the grave, we are still the building of God, our spirit. We still have a building of God, our spirit, not made with hands, and we shall live eternally in the heavens. So notice, read verse 4. It says, "For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Verse 4 says, "We who are in this tent." He's saying, he's calling the body a tent. Go to verse 6. It says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So who is going to be absent from the body? It says we are. We are going to be absent from the body. And who's that? That's our spirit. That's the real us. We're going to be absent from the body. We're going to be absent from the body on earth one day, but we will still be present with the Lord. So the Bible talks of the inward man as being the real you. And that's everything that we've been looking at. You can see the person that's the inward man is the real you. Your body dies and goes to the grave. That's not you. That's just the body that you have. That's just the clothing that you have to walk around on this earth. But it's not the real you. You and me, we're alive without our bodies. Now see, we know that because we know people, people have an idea of that because they know when they die, a lot of people think that they're going somewhere even if they're not Christians. But in this day and age, a lot of people just do think that, our bodies just came about and it's all just natural things, that God had nothing to do with it. When you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing out there. But the spirit realm is real, and it's more real than anything we can see, feel, touch here. Because the natural realm, it was made from the spiritual realm. So we know that God is a spirit, and we covered some of these things earlier, so we're just kind of recapping some of them, but you can go back and listen to those messages. We know, because on Wednesdays, we'll just go, we just pick up where we left off, typically. We might, we'll review some to get everybody on the same page, but we're just going to keep going, so we're not going to necessarily recap everything or go to a place that looks like where we should stop. We're going to stop basically when the time's over and just keep going. They're more just one after another. But we know that God is a spirit. We know that Jesus became a man, for Jesus was God manifested in the flesh in a human body. Flesh living in a human body. We know that Jesus took on a physical body, and when he did, he was not less God than he was before he had a physical body. We know that a man leaves his physical body at death, and likewise, when he does, he is no less a man than when he was in his physical body. We just saw that with the story of Lazarus. Now, I want to read you a couple accounts. Now, you don't build doctrine on people's experience. But people's experience, when it lines up with the Word of God, you can use it to help clarify. You don't get faith from people's experience. You don't get faith from somebody's testimony. You understand, if somebody gives a testimony that they were healed, that doesn't give you faith that you can be healed. Faith only comes by the Word of God. But it can inspire you to use your faith. You can say, wow, they receive that, and it can inspire you to believe God, but it doesn't give you faith. You don't get faith from what somebody says, because you can't take what they say to the bank. You have to believe God's word, and we've covered some of that. How faith comes is by the word of God. So I want to read you a couple accounts that Brother Hagin gave, and if you've ever heard him tell these stories, it's really powerful. He talks about how he went to hell. In fact, he's got a little book that's called I Went to Hell. And when you hear him tell about it, it's pretty powerful. This is kind of a condensed version of it. But I'll just read this. This is somewhat in his own words. It says, "I don't know about you, but I've always been interested in the spirit realm because I died and went to hell as a teenager on the bed of sickness. And I've preached about it, giving my testimony many times. That happened on April 22nd, 1933, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. in the south bedroom of 405 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas." Have you ever heard him preach? He'll rattle these things off, and he said, "I don't remember any of that." He said, "The Holy Spirit just prompts me," but he'll just come out with all the exact details. He said, just as grandpa's old clock on the mantelpiece struck 7:30, my heart stopped beating within my bosom, and I felt the circulation cut off way down at the end of my toes all the way up to my heart. I had the sensation of just leaping out of my body. Now, if you just real quickly, if you don't not familiar with his testimony or situation, he had several problems. He had a heart problem and a blood problem, and he was mostly paralyzed. And so he was raised off all that and got healed, was healed, and got strengthened over time and was completely well. They told him he wouldn't live, definitely not past his teens, just when he was 16 or 17. But he got a hold of faith and believed God. And it finally dawned on him about how to believe God and what we're talking about here, just believing God, and he was raised up. So he's talking about here. I mean, there was times when he was in and out, and here he died because he had problems with his heart. He couldn't move. A lot of times he could move his finger good, his hands good enough that he said he would turn the page. He'd read a page in his Bible, and it took him forever to turn the page. He'd just be like this, and I'm probably doing it too fast. He could just barely move it, but that's how he would read his Bible. So here he died. So his heart stopped. And he said, I just had the sensation of leaping out of my body. I knew I was out of my body, yet I was not less a man than when I was in my body. So you just think about Lazarus and the rich man. They're dead. But they're like, he's looking at Lazarus. He can see Lazarus. He talks about his tongue. He's talking about physical parts. And you've heard it. I've heard numerous testimonies. People don't know they're dead until they look down and see their body, because they don't feel dead. They feel like them, which would bear with Scripture. I knew I was out of my body, yet I was not less a man then than I was when I was in my body. I began to descend, and I went down, 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 like I was going down into a pit or cavern or a well. I looked up and I could see the lights of earth way above me, for the earth puts off a certain amount of light. The farther down I went, the darker it became, until finally darkness totally encompassed me round about. Darkness darker than any night man has ever seen in his life. It was a darkness that seemed so dense that if you had a knife, you could cut a piece out of it as if it were a solid mass. The farther down I went, the hotter it became and the more stifling it became. My mind, my soul was intact. I thought of my life, and my entire life came up before me in my mind. As I descended, I could see the fingers of light playing on the wall of darkness. All the time, I was still going down, down, making a descent. And in a few moments, I came to the bottom of a pit and saw what caused the light to play against the wall of darkness. In front of me, I saw giant orange flames crested by white hot flame. I came to the gate, the entrance, the portals of hell itself. Now, you either believe this or you believe, you can believe that Kenneth E. Hagin's a liar and he made all of it up. I don't believe it. I believe he's a man of integrity. Everything he says here bears witness with Scripture. But when you read these things, people, you're making that up. Well, it's scriptural. I believe what he said. He said, there was a creature of some kind that met me when I got to the bottom of the pit. I never looked at him, although I knew he was by my side, for my gaze was riveted to hell itself. I intended to put up a fight if I could to keep from going to that awful place, and so I paused, never coming to a complete stop. I paused momentarily, and when I did, this creature took me by the arm. All the time this was happening, my physical body lay on the bed back in the bedroom of McKinney, Texas. But you see, there is a spiritual body, and that spiritual body has arms and legs and eyes and ears, all the features that the physical body has. We can see that from what we just read. That's why the rich man in Luke 16 says, I am tormented in this flame. The rich man was possessed with all of his faculties. He saw Lazarus with his eyes. He recognized him. Actually, when I was in hell, I couldn't tell any difference in myself between the physical and spiritual man, except for the fact I could not contact the physical realm and that I wasn't living in the physical realm. I was in the spiritual realm. So Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell or out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. So Paul couldn't tell either. Paul told how he had caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Most Bible scholars agree that Paul was talking about his own spirit, his experience. Paul said, in effect, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. I know that Paul meant, I know what Paul meant, because in my own experience, as far as I was concerned, I couldn't tell either. As that creature took me by the arm to escort me into hell, there was a voice that spoke from far above the blackness, above the earth, and above the heavens, from the throne of God. I don't know what the voice said. It was the sound of a man's voice, a male voice. I could hear it as it boomed and echoed through that shaft of darkness from heaven above. I don't know what the voice said, because the words were not spoken in English. It was a foreign tongue to me, but it was the voice of God. When he spoke these words, I suppose he spoke from 6 to 9 words, that whole region of the damned shook and quivered just like a leaf in the wind. You know, God is the victor. Amen. You know, the forces of hell are nothing compared to our God.
That's right.
And they're nothing compared to the children of God. Do you realize the forces of hell tremble at a Christian? If they know who they are, and even if they don't know, do you realize the children of hell tremble when they see you coming? I've shared this before, but I heard a missionary talk about this when they were in Panama. They were talking to a witch doctor who got saved, and they said, the witch doctor would say, when there's a Christian walking through the woods, he said there was just like this great light that they could see. They could sense it in the spirit realm. They could see it. It was just like a big light coming down through. And he said if the Christians only knew who they were. This is, the witch doctor's talking after he got saved, but he's talking from his experience before when he was a witch doctor. And he said, you could see, we could see and sense the presence of God being in that Christian. He said, if you only knew who you were. And that's what most Christians don't know who they are. And we need to remind ourselves of who we are. We have a friend down in Connecticut. She was telling a story. She's a pastor's wife. And she was telling the story. I don't go into all the details, but she was on a flight, and this man was next to her, and he was telling her some stuff, and this guy, I don't know, thought he was really something, and what was it, her friend, or the guy's friend was like, she was talking to him about Jesus or something, and the guy was like laughing and looked at her friend, and he's like, does she know who you are, or something like that? The guy, you know, so they were kind of like, who is this crazy lady? And like the guy looked and said, does she know who you are? Like, I don't know, he must have been somebody. And she said the Spirit of God spoke up on the inside of her and said, does he know who you are? And she got spunky. She is spunky. She's from Long Island. And great lady. But she just said, she just rose up at her and she started talking to this guy. But that's what we need to be. You know, the devil wants to make you intimidated. Satan, he tried to intimidate you, make you think you're nothing. But we need to realize that we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. You just need to get spunky about some stuff and say, you know, I'm here. Not in your own strength, not in your own self, not arrogance, but you need to know you have God in you, so I don't care who you're dealing with.
Amen.
Do they know who you are? Do they know who they're dealing with? You and God are a majority. Amen?
Amen.
So yeah, it's a, you know, the whole realm trembled. Satan is nothing compared to God. He likes to make you think he is. Mike likes to make you think he's all bad, but he's not all that bad. Bible says when we see him, we're going to go, are you kidding me? It was this little dude? This is the guy that made all the nations tremble? Really? And we're going to be so frustrated for all the times that we let him push us around. I'm serious. We are. You're going to be like, oh my goodness. Why did I? That's what was making me all upset? This puny little thing? And I had God Almighty on the inside of me, and I was, what? That's probably some of the tears that God's going to have to wipe away. We're going to be having to get ourselves back, compose ourselves, going, good night. I wasted too much time getting upset. this clown was doing it. It says, then that creature took his hand off my arm. Okay, so it said, I'll read the beginning of this part. He said, I don't know what the voice said. So a voice spoke because the words weren't spoken in English. It was a foreign tongue to me, but it was the voice of God. When he spoke those words, he said, I suppose it was 6 to 9 words. The whole region of the dam shook and quivered just like a leaf in the wind. Then that creature took his hand off my arm, and there was an unseen power just like a suction, an irresistible pull to my back that began to pull me away from the entrance of hell back to the shadows of that shaft of darkness. Then that irresistible unseen power pulled me back up to earth. I came up head first. When I came up on the porch outside the south bedroom where my body lay dead. I knew for just a second that I was standing on the porch. Then I went right through the wall because, you see, material things have no effect on spiritual things. I went right back inside my body, and I just seemed to leap inside my body like a man would put his foot into a shoe. I realized as soon as I got in my body that I could contact the physical realm again. So in other words, before he couldn't touch anything. But now he was back in his physical body, so now he can touch. Where he just went through the wall before. And that's, Jesus went through a wall, right? All of a sudden, he's in the middle. He just walked right through the wall. He said, I said to my grandmother who had held my hand my head in her lap and bathed my face with a cool, damp cloth, or as soon as I realized I got back inside my body that I could contact the physical realm again, I said to my grandmother, who held my head in her lap and bathed my face with a cool damp cloth, Granny, I'm dying. She said, Son, I thought you were dead. I didn't know you were coming back. I said, I'm going again and I won't be back next time. That same incident of descending into hell happened 3 times. Each time I did come back. As my spirit left my body and I descended into the lower regions of hell, that same voice spoke and I was brought back to the earth. It was the voice of God. When I began to descend the 3rd time, I began to scream out to God, God, I belong to the church. No answer came as I said those words. If you haven't heard him tell this testimony, you ought to listen to it. For it will, he said, God, I belong to the church. No answer came as I said those words, for it will take more than church membership to miss hell and make heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again. Certainly, I believe in joining a church, but it is not church membership that will save a person. It is being born again. As I came out of that horrible pit a 3rd time, my spirit began to pray. My physical voice picked up the prayer as I entered back into my body the 3rd time. I prayed so loudly that the neighbors could hear me. I began to call upon God that he would have mercy on me, a sinner, and that he would forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and confessed him as my Lord. I felt so wonderful, as if a heavy burden had rolled off my chest. I looked at the clock and saw that it was 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. That was the very hour I was born again due to the mercy of God. Now there's another account after that. He said, then about 4 months later, on August 16th, 1933, at 1:30 in the afternoon, I knew I was dying again. See, he hadn't been healed yet, but he's born again. I was in the last throes of death. So I said to my youngest brother, who was standing at my bed, Pat, run and get Mama quick. I'm dying. I want to tell her goodbye. And he ran out of the room. Just as Mama came into the room, I had the same sensation of leaving my body as I had before, except I was saved now. I leapt out of my body, and when I left, this time I began to ascend. I didn't go down this time, I went up. We lived in an old-fashioned house with a high ceiling, and I got to about where the roof of the house should have been. I must have been about 16 or 18 feet above the bed. I was fully conscious. I knew everything that was going on. When I got up that high, I stopped ascending, and I just seemed to stand there. When I stopped, I looked down into the room, and I saw my body, not me, my spirit, but my physical body, lying there on the bed, and I saw my mother stooped over with my hand in hers. Mama told me afterwards that I had her hand in a death-like grip, but you see, I had left my body, therefore I couldn't tell her goodbye. Then I looked up and heard a voice again. A voice. Again, I didn't see anyone, but I heard a voice, and again, it was a male voice. I do not know whether it was Jesus, whether it was an angel, or who it was, but I know it was an emissary of heaven. This time the voice did not speak in a foreign tongue, but spoke in English. And here's what the voice said: "Go back, go back, go back. You can't come yet. Your work on earth is not done." And when he, whoever it was, said that, I began to descend and came back into my body. And when I got back inside my body, I said, "Mama, I'm not going to die now." She thought I meant I wasn't going to die that minute, but I meant I wasn't going to die then at all, but live and do the work and the will of God. I lay there bedfast exactly 12 months, almost to the day, before I received my healing. For even though it was the will of God for me to live, God couldn't make an exception of me. In other words, I had to receive my healing, like anyone else does by faith, and it took me 12 months to see the truth of God's word concerning healing. After this experience, I lay on that bed for 12 months, for months and months, waiting for God to heal me, and he didn't do it. Now, pay attention here. And if you're waiting for God to heal you, he's not going to do it. You're just wasting your time because God is waiting for you to receive what he has already freely given. Amen? He's already given it. He's already given it. Just like salvation. See, if we're waiting, if somebody were to tell you, "I'm waiting for God to save me." A lot of people in Christian circles, even if they know nothing about healing, if somebody, we're coming up on Easter, Resurrection Sunday. If somebody were to say, "I'm waiting for God to save me," the response would be, "He's already done the work, right? Jesus has already died. He already rose." The person, in order to be saved, has to do what we read in Romans 10, 9 and 10, has to call on the Lord, has to confess Jesus, has to believe that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you will be saved. See, it's already done. But we got to believe, you got to come to faith and believe that. Now, that's not work. People say, well, that's, you know, somehow it's been twisted to where people think faith is work. It's not work. No more work than how do we get saved? We believe him. We just believe what he said. It's the same thing with healing. You know, Brother Hagin said, I was just waiting for God to heal me. God's already provided it. So we gotta see, it's not about wrapping your mind around that, and this is what we're talking about. How do you believe that? You believe it with your heart. So you don't try to get your head wrapped around it. It's something you grab a hold of by your spirit. And we've talked about this, but when you grab a hold of it by your spirit, what it means to believe with your heart, you don't go to your head. You don't go to what you feel like. You say, "God, I believe that in here," and that's it. Now, it could take a little bit for that to dawn on your heart, because you're not trying to understand it. Some people try to understand it with their head, and that's where they miss it. And then when something goes back in the natural or their physical, they drop it. But no, it's believing with your heart, and you receiving it regardless of what it looks like. Praise God. So we're no less a person when we leave this body as when we're in the body. The people in heaven are just as much as a person as you, and we'll get into this more. That just because you have a body or don't have a body, that's not the real you. We'll see Jesus. Jesus has a body. Did you know he has a new body? It's a flesh and bone body, the Bible says. We'll get into that. We'll just show it. We're just going to go over some of this stuff, but Jesus has a body. But that doesn't mean him make him more real than God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, who don't have a body. We'll get into that. But they're all God. But the Bible says, you know, Jesus appeared, had a body. But just because you have a body doesn't mean you more real. And this is what we have to get over. That's what we're talking about, believing with the heart, because the things of the natural have such a pull on us. And so we think something's real. I mean, in our natural thinking, we think something's real if I can feel it or touch it. Like, this is real. No, no, this is created. This is not more real than the Spirit. And now when we start getting a hold of Spirit things and believe in what God said, who is a Spirit, now that becomes real to us. We grab a hold of it with our heart, our spirit man. And now when we get a hold of it, we start to see that that's more powerful than anything in the natural. And now our natural, just like God created this, man created this, but the realm that's in this in our bodies, he can tweak it like that. And what causes that power to flow? It's just believe in him. That power, we are more convinced in our spirit. That's how you believe. Your spirit can change the natural by believing him. Can overtake it, can change that power. What makes that flow? It's just believe in him. But that's what we're talking about, the spirit. So we'll pick up there.